Friends, won't you pray with me? Loving God, we call upon you in this moment, asking you to illuminate the readings that we have just heard. May your illumination transform them for us, so that we may live more fully according to your will and be more open to how you have called us to serve in our lifetimes. We pray for this in your name. Amen. In the first episode of the podcast, Another Name for Everything, a co-host asks Richard Rohr, Franciscan author and priest, what does the phrase Christ-soaked world mean to you, and what can we learn from that imagery? If you're familiar with Richard Rohr, maybe you can already hear him responding to this question, slowly, in his deep, warm voice, carefully, intentionally. What I believe, Rohr begins after a pause, and I believe the scriptures say, but we just aren't told to look for it, is that reality was christened from the very beginning, from its inception. Let me read that again. Reality was christened from the very beginning, from its inception. Finding ourselves today on this fourth Sunday of Easter, we are no strangers to talking about the impact of Jesus, the Christ, the Messiah, literally the Anointed One in Koine Greek, on his world, which continues to be our world. We are no strangers indeed to talking about God's divinity, ancient, mysterious, never changing, ever present, ageless. Rohr says, so we see this mounting recognition of presence, that reality is already soaked with God's presence, and we, humans, sought a metaphor like anointing to remind us of what was already there. As Rohr argues, anointing something by human hands or declaring it holy by human mouths does not create sacredness. Rather, by anointing and declaring, we recognize the divine presence that has lived there all along. Rohr's phrase, Christ-soaked world, is a type of shorthand for creation spirituality. The triune God's presence has been with us for all time, from Genesis to Revelation, from the Big Bang to the daffodils blooming in your neighborhood this week. For Rohr, Romans 8 exemplifies creation spirituality. In Romans 8, Christ sees the world in terms of nature too. All nature is longing to reveal the children of God, that even the natural world, as St. Francis said in his blessing, his brother, sun, sister, moon, it's all in the family of Christ-soakedness. Nature has longed to reveal us for thousands and thousands of years. Yet we find ourselves in the same position as Abraham and Moses, as the prophets and as Christ. We resist creation. We say we love our planet, our home, and our neighbors, but how do we actually respond to God's call to be caretakers of creation and each other? Scripture venerates God's creation. Scripture honors God's people. Scripture defends the poor in spirit and resources, the defenseless, the meek, the oppressed, and the trampled upon. But as Rohr says, we just weren't trained to see the world that way. And now we've thought we could torture animals, pollute the earth, kill people who are not Christ-soaked because we thought it was upon us to decide. When the world trains us to be individualistic, competitive, agents of convenience and consumption, what are we to do? How are we to reclaim our right as God's people on earth? How are we to ground ourselves with God's ancient presence and transform hopelessness and powerlessness into strength and action? Perhaps we return to the idea of anointing, remembering Christ and the word anointing, the Messiah. We know all good things come from God, and God has made everything good. And though we know that God's creation is good, how do we live into this statement, into a practice of creation spirituality? Maybe practice starts with a small seed of recognition. We recognize that God has already made our lands, waters, and air sacred. We recognize that God has already made us sacred, that divinity lives actively inside of us. We recognize that God has made all living things sacred, even if we have a really hard time accepting the sacredness of a snake or a mosquito. Jacob poured oil in Genesis 28 and said, "This is the gate of heaven." He poured it on a rock. Imagine this, a little rock, a pebble being the gate to heaven. Mary of Bethany took a pound of costly perfumes, anointed Jesus' feet, and wiped them with her hair in John chapter 12. Could we too recognize God's presence in the creation of people, in the creation of land and water and air around us, and take time to seal them with the love and reverence of anointing? I'm not saying you need to stock up on holy oil and start dabbing trees and squirrels in the fells, and please don't pour any in the water supply. But perhaps you could find a way to regularly show gratitude and respect as part of creation in your midst. Could you anoint creation by committing yourself to reducing plastic waste or filling up a water bottle, as Maggie said earlier? Occasionally buying humanely grown and humanely processed foods, foods that you can trace and track, perhaps at a farmer's market. Eating vegetarian or vegan one day of the week. Composting, being mindful of your consumerism and consumption. Serving a community or mission that's meaningful to you. Being content with what you have, not clamoring for what you think you need. Or writing your representatives about keeping our creation healthy and holding companies and corporations accountable. Do any of these ways bring you closer to anointing the Christ-soaked world? Is there anything I've missed that you'd like to take on? Folks at home, I invite you to leave a comment if you'd like with how you would like to anoint creation. And folks in the sanctuary, I can't wait to hear your response after the service. It is a gift and a miracle that God has given us the goodness of water, land, and air. It is a gift and a miracle that we have these resources at our fingertips, and it is unfair and contrary to God's kingdom that we have access to them and our neighbors don't. By responding to God's call to be caretakers of our creation, perhaps we as a people will be emboldened enough to put aside our own needs and find solutions to bridge inequity. As 1 Peter reads, "Therefore, prepare your minds for action. Discipline yourself. Set all your hope on the grace that Jesus Christ will bring to you when he is revealed." Friends, may we anoint creation not to win God's favor, knowing that God freely gives grace to us, but rather to give God gratitude for the gifts and mercies we've already received. Everything that we need is already here with us, provided by God. May we embrace this Christ-soaked world not with fear, but with hope. May God wring out the truth inside of us waiting to be found. And may our spirituality extend beyond ourselves, beyond the individual, ready to dwell in all of creation. Amen.